This message, honestly, it's not a lot about Thanksgiving, to be fair. But I do believe it kind of fits with what we're going in our growth groups. It's what God put on my heart. And I think that at the end of the day, one of the things that we are incredibly thankful for that should be at the top of our list is the light. We're thankful for the light of the world, which is Jesus. And that is kind of the thrust of this message. But Judges chapter number 6, if you wouldn't mind just standing with me, stretch your legs one last time for about the next hour or two. To our visitors who are here who traveled from far to get here, I met a couple this week that they flew nonstop with two little kids from Denver, Colorado to Lihue. And a nonstop flight over 8 hours sitting on a plane. So if they can sit 8 hours on a plane with two little ones, you can enjoy the next 35 to 40 minutes, all right? Judges chapter number 6, we're going to read about a man named Gideon and God using him to pierce an incredible darkness. So Judges chapter number 6, verse number 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, that the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. They came up with the cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. They entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said to them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all thy miracles which the God told us of, or which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we face incredible darkness. There is truly darkness all around us. Lord, we see it. We see it in the news. We see it in the people that we come across. We see it in the interactions. We see it everywhere. There is darkness. And Lord, there was darkness in this day in Israel. There was terrible things happening to them when things that they had planned on and planted would come to naught because of the darkness. But God, you called one man to stand against it, to face it. And God, you're calling us today to stand against the darkness of our day with the light of the world. I pray, God, that you give us strength. I pray that you help us overcome our obstacles to do what you've called us to do in this place. God, I pray now that you bless this message. I pray that you'd use me as your vessel in this moment. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Truthfully, darkness is all around us. It doesn't take a person long to realize that this world is absolutely broken. In fact, when we're honest, when we're real, when there's something about us that simply says, hey, I am broken. This world is broken. Everything is broken, including me. The earth itself is not like God designed it. We're learning in our growth group that the world in which God created was very good. Everything about it was good. The animals were good. The trees were good. The ocean was good. Everything, man was good. But man sinned, and after that, the world became very dark. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says, for we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And really, we can look around us. The natural world groans. There are fires, lots of fires. There are hurricanes. There's flooding. There's earthquakes. There's volcano eruptions. There's many more of these natural disasters that tell us something's wrong with our world. Something's not right. And that's just the natural world. And then when we look at people, it gets even worse. When we look at the human race, hate, anger, violence, war, the struggle for power, the manipulation of other people, the abuse of other people, the outright contempt for other people. The things that human beings do to their fellow human beings is truly dark. We live in a dark world. Just this past week, or 2 weeks ago, there was a shooting in Thousand Oaks, California. And as Omar said last week, among those killed was a relative of my wife's family, a cousin, a second cousin that she had on Susie's side. And his name was Marky, and his celebration of life is this morning. They told me that he was shot 5 times. Once in the head. He was actually working, I believe he was working at that place, and he would check IDs, and he was one of the first ones killed. The shooter was so filled with hate, so deranged, that it wasn't just one shot. He repeatedly shot until he was sure there was no life left in him. Why? Because the world is broken. Because the world is dark. The world is evil. And as we sit here this morning, we have several choices that we can take in light of facing a dark world, in light of facing evil. What do we do? It takes courage to deliver people from evil. It takes courage to face the darkness with the light. See, fear is a part of life. I don't believe people who say that they're not afraid of anything. Everyone is afraid of something. There's something that all of us are afraid of. And this morning, courage is not the lack of being afraid. Courage is doing what you know to be right in spite of your fear. Say, I'm terrified. I'm afraid. But I'm going to do what's right. That's courage. And God needs some people of God who will stand up with some courage and say, hey, I'm terrified of the darkness. I fear what the darkness might bring. But I'll do what's right. I will do what God wants me to do. I recently read this story about Gideon in Judges chapter 6 through 8. Gideon was a judge. A judge back in old Israel was a natural hero or a leader that rose up to rule the people of Israel kind of by default. It's kind of an interesting time in the nation of Israel, and God picked them to be judges. It's just not that everybody knew that they were supposed to be judges, including the judges themselves, as was the case with Gideon. Gideon was like that. He didn't see himself as any kind of epic hero. If you were to talk to him and say, you're going to, like we see here with the angel of God, talking about, you're going to deliver Israel. No. You've got the wrong man. You've got the wrong person. And when God went to talk to him, Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. What that really means and what we understand about that is that Gideon was doing his chores in a place he wouldn't normally be doing them because he was hiding from the Midianites. He was trying to get wheat and food for his family because there was a terrible darkness in the land. These Midianites would sweep into Israeli territory. They would trample the crops. They would eat the sheep. They would steal the donkeys. They would do all other kinds of things that terrible and evil people do. And this had been going on for 7 years. And the children of Israel had actually started to hide out in caves and rock and hide out from the bad guys. And Gideon was just trying to stay out of the way, stay out of trouble. I don't want trouble. Not looking for trouble. Just want to eat. Not exactly where we see heroes, is it? The mighty man of valor was hiding out from the enemy so that he could get some food. And that's when the angel Lord came and sat down next to him in the wine press and said, I have to talk to you. The angel said to Gideon, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That description Gideon felt was incorrect. You got the wrong guy. I'm not that person. I'm broken. I'm a coward. I'm of the least of the tribes of Manasseh. We are nothing. What are you doing? But God wanted to use him to face the darkness. And I want to learn some things from this passage of Scripture that I believe can help us as we seek to be the light of the world. And I hope this morning that you desire to be that light as we see a dark world. It is scary. There are things that are happening that are terrifying. But courage faces it with God's message, with God's word, and with his spirit. The first thing I want to see from this story, and I love this part about God, is God wants to light the darkness. Israel was in a big mess. And by the way, they had brought the darkness on themselves. When you read the passage of Scripture that we read earlier in Judges chapter 6, they were suffering terribly because they had forsaken God. God didn't forsake them. They turned away from God. They turned to other idols and sought resources from other idols of their land. And God said, you want it that way? Have it that way. He let them have their own way. And as a result, they faced terrible darkness. And once they cried out to God, this is such an amazing thing about God. The moment they cried out to God, God help us! By the way, when they made this cry, they still have idols set up. We're going to see that with Gideon. They still had their idols set up. They were still worshiping false gods. They were still doing what they weren't supposed to be doing, but they cried out to God. And the moment they cried out to God, the moment they said, God, God, we're in trouble, he heard them. Verse number 7 of Judges chapter 6, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel immediately, which said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians out of the house and all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, and you fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. It's amazing to me how they can sin against God, how they can turn from God, how they can turn to idols. How offensive is that to God? They turn to a piece of stone and say, thank you for this harvest. Thank you for the rain. When they know God. And yet in the moment that they cry out to him, he answers. The thing that I realize about that is the God that we serve wants to heal the darkness. He wants to make it whole. He wants to fix what's going on, what's broken in our world. He wants to make families clean and whole again. He wants to clean up our addictions. He wants to clean up our hurt and heal our hurt. He wants to heal our pain. He wants to put hope and peace in our heart. In the moment that we cry out to him, He wants us to restore our relationship with Him. Do you realize this morning that all that we see going on in the world and all the solutions that are being put before us, that God also has a plan? Do you realize what we see going? And again, we have this group that has this plan for how to fix the fires. We have this group that has this plan for what's causing the fires. We have this group that has how to heal that thing and how to heal that thing. We have all these different plans. And we have to stop and realize that, hey, God has a plan. God has a plan for the darkness. God wants to light the darkness. He's always had this plan. And we have to realize, hey, when are we going to turn from those things in whose land we dwell? When are we going to turn from those idols that we brought into our life and those things that we think bring our security and say, hey, God, we need you. God, we need you in our life. God, we need you in our heart. We need you to heal the brokenness. We need you to fix our world because we have royally messed it up. The world's a mess. Our country's a mess. Our state's a mess. Our island is a mess. I heard this statistic this week, and it's unbelievable. On this island, among teenagers, 1 in 11 will attempt suicide. 1 in 11. Oh, we're fine. We're good. We're good, right? We're good. We're all right. We're fine. No, we're not. We're not fine. We're not okay. We're broken. We're dark. We're miserable. We need healing. We need God. And God's people have to say, hey, God, we're tired of learning through our own understanding. We're tired of trying this thing for security. We're trying to find that thing, but we need to get back to God. Yeah. There's another statistic that I heard this week. It's fascinating. 88% of young people, when they turn 18, growing up in church, will leave church never to return. 88%, I think you may have heard that one before because I've said that before, but there's other research that is in addition to that quote that says this, that among those whose parents actively share their faith in front of those kids, that 88% is drastically reduced to 4. So maybe it is that the teenagers who grow up in our homes who see a false security, who see a false pretension of Christianity, who see people who claim a God but deny Him in their actions say, this is hogwash. And maybe it is that if we want to rescue our island, if we want to rescue our families, that we ourselves must actively live out what the Bible tells us to do. Not just hearers of the Word, but doers as well. And maybe when young people see parents who actively see the Lord and obey the Lord and follow the Lord, they'll want to follow Him too. Because God has a plan to make this world right again. And God had a plan for the nation of Israel and their darkness. And He has a plan for your darkness as well. Second thing I want us to see is not only does God have a plan for the darkness, He is with us in the darkness. Look at verse 14 of Judges chapter 6. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Listen to that phrase. Surely I will be with thee. What darkness are you facing this morning? What is it? What brokenness are you feeling? What is it that's encompassing you? And do you realize as a believer in Jesus Christ, as somebody who is born again by the Spirit of God, that God is with you in your darkness? Whatever you are facing, and this is such an important truth for us to understand, no matter what is coming our way, no matter what threat we're facing, no matter what evil that is encompassing us, there is a reality that God is with us. Last Saturday, I had the privilege of officiating a graveside service for Eleanor Rente. Her remains were committed to the earth, And as I did that, I read Psalm 23, which also happened to be on the headstone of several of her family members and on her box, they have like a little family area there in the Lahui Cemetery. And as I read that, I read Psalm 23 and verse 4, where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." God is with us. He is with us. Even in the Great Commission where Jesus told us, "Hey, go into all the world. Hey, preach the gospel to every creature. Hey, tell them about Jesus Christ. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit." And then he adds to that, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Do you hear that? So many times in our world today, the darkness and the evil of the world tells us to doubt the Scriptures, to doubt what Jesus said, to doubt what His Word says is true. And yes, when we see the world around us, we can wonder, where is God? He's with you. He's with you. Darkness can be very scary. To be honest with you, in certain circumstances, if I'm not familiar with the area, I don't know what is out there and it's completely dark, I don't feel the most comfortable either. None of us. I think there's, in certain scenarios, all of us are afraid of the dark. Again, when it's in my house and the lights are off, I know where I'm going, I can walk through my entire house without the lights being on, completely blind. Because I know where everything's at. I'm comfortable with that. But put me in a creepy warehouse where I've never been before and there's weird noises and I heard there's some kind of axe murder that's on the loose, I'm going to be scared. So would you. We're all scared of the unknown. We're all scared of darkness because of the threat it poses. Darkness threatens to bring harm. It threatens to bring change. It threatens to bring hurt. Do you know fear is the greatest tool of Satan to paralyze us from doing what God has told us to do? But he tells us, "Why are you afraid? I'm with you." You know what I mean? I am with you. Don't be afraid. You can do what I've told you to do because I'm going to go with you. Don't be afraid of the darkness. You know the phrase, "fear not," or "do not be afraid," or some variation of those words appears 365 times in the Bible. It's a reminder every day not to be fearful because God is with you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I wanted you to keep that in mind when the darkness is coming. Keep that in mind when there's things that you're scared and afraid of. Because by the way, everybody's feeding on fear right now. It's funny, I watched a video of a kind of a mockery, I guess, or it's what do they call those when they're sarcasm and they're
satire.
And it was of a news reporter in Georgia reporting on the snowfall. And it's rare in the South for there to be snowfall in the South. And it's kind of humorous because there's a half inch of snow and everything shuts down. Like nobody's going anywhere. Where I grew up in Montana where it's like we go everywhere if there's 6 feet of snow. Like if you can get out of your house, you're going. It's crazy the difference, right? Just wait for the snowplow, then you go. And it's funny because this news reporter in this video was talking about it, and there's this is the end, you know. And they're talking about everything, and then, "Don't go outside, hug your children a little bit tighter tonight." And it's kind of going through all these dramatic things. And then it was funny because they said something that I think is so truthfully powerful, or so powerful, in this satire, they said, "And to keep it tuned here all day long," right? Because that's the objective of news media, is to keep you tuned in all day long. And why would you be tuned in? Because you're terrified of what's going to happen next. We got to find out what's going to ruin us next, right? And that's kind of how they play their games. And Jesus said, "Hey, don't be fearful. Don't worry, I'm with you. It's going to be okay. We're going to face this darkness. more than that, and this is the last point, is we're not only going to face this darkness because I'm with you, we're going to overcome it. We're going to overcome it. Because light is stronger than darkness. The story of Gideon continues after he cleaned up the false gods and he destroyed these false gods and idols from out of the land. And now the darkness is back, though. The Midianites have come back. They've cleaned up their idols. And the Midianites come back. And now they join forces with other enemies of Israel. And they're invading Israel again. And through a series of events between Judges 6 and Judges 8, God whittled down this army of men going against the Midianites to 300. And the reason why God said he's doing this is because he only wants him to get the glory. He's saying, you guys have worshipped false gods. You're not getting you brought this on yourself. I'm going to overcome this. And I'm going to show you that it's me. We're going to overcome this. Now, they had a job to do, but God's going to do a miracle here. What happens is that God has this interesting plan. What he does is he has each one of these 300 men circle the camp of the Midianites. And each one of these men is given a trumpet, a clay pitcher, and a torch. And they would put the pots over the lights so they couldn't be seen. And they gathered around the camp of the Israelites at dark, in the darkness. And when they got the signal, they broke the clay pitcher, which is a tremendous picture of the clay flesh that we have and the light within us. They broke the clay pitcher. They shone forth the light. They took their trumpets. They blew a blast. And they shouted. And what they shouted is vitally important. They shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And then they blow their trumpet and they'd shout, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they could continue this. And the Midianites were sleeping and they were confused. They woke up in the start. They were confused by the noise and the torches. They had no clue if they were being attacked by 300 men or 300,000 men. And they began to turn on each other. They just began swinging at anything in sight. And they were fighting each other. And the Israelites were just standing around, blowing on the trumpets, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they were destroying themselves right in front of them. And the ones that they didn't turn on each other in the confusions ran out into the desert in terror. You see, the light is stronger than darkness. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." A profound statement of truth. Because the reality is we can look at our world today and it is powerfully dark. And honestly, you can look at the darkness and say, how can we make a difference? And God says, pick me. Pick me. I can show you. I can do it. Jesus is greater than the devil. And Jesus is the light. And as a believer of Jesus Christ, he is in you. Jesus said in John chapter 9 and verse 5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He is the light. He is what we need to shine forth. And as Christians, until we get a hold of this, we'll continue to be terrorized by the darkness. We have our agendas, we have our schemes, we have our solutions, we all have our ideas. But until we say, "Jesus, you're the preeminent one, Jesus, we're following you, and Jesus, you get all the glory, and we're going to do exactly what you said," we will not overcome the darkness. And I'm going to be honest with you today, there's a lot of Christians in America are trying a lot of things besides Jesus. I heard people even this last month say, hey, you know what? We need, if we don't vote, the world's coming to an end, right? There's still darkness. Really. And by the way, I don't care who you elect. I don't care what law you pass. There will always be darkness until we preach Jesus. Until we say, he is the light of the world. He is the important one. Let's preach Christ. Let's get the gospel up. Let's get familiar with how to share the gospel. Let's learn this three circles thing. It's a simple way to share the gospel. Not the only way, I've said that many times, but share the gospel. Share Jesus. He is the light. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are told to fear so much in this life. As I mentioned, politics thrive on fear. Media gets ratings by fear. Everything is about fear. Terrified of what could happen in the darkness. I'm not saying to be irresponsible with your life, but the most responsible thing you can do is trust Christ, is put your life in His and be hid in Christ and obey His word and trust Him. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. And we need to let that be our light. Let that be our guide. We have light. There's nothing that can happen to us that Jesus isn't bigger than. What if I die? Guess what? He's bigger than death. He conquered death. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. He overcame that too. Everything else in between. He's overcome it. You don't need to fear it. We were talking the other day with the trustees, and they're like, what's the worst that could happen to you? You can die. Ooh, and then you're with Jesus. All right, oh my. And I understand we have things that we appreciate and love in this life, but think about that. You're with Jesus. That's the worst that can happen to you, is you go into His presence for all eternity. And even Christians are terrified of death. I once was talking to a man, and I hope none of us have to get in this situation because it's just a terrible place to be, but we're talking about, and this happens in this world today that we live in, the dark, this world is so dark, that there will actually be Christians who will have a gun or a sword to their head and they will be told, renounce your faith, renounce Christ and live. Many times they will say, I will not deny my Savior. By the way, in doing so, there's such a tremendous light. And oftentimes their life will end in that moment. And they will go to be with Jesus. And I was talking to a man about that. He said, you know, if I was in that situation, I would deny Christ. He knows my heart. Right? He knows I love Him. And I would live to tell Jesus, to tell others about Jesus another day. But that's not the light. And oftentimes now what we're seeing in the Middle East and other places where these executioners that have executed Christians are now having dreams about Christ. And they're going to missionaries and saying, you know, I'm having these dreams, what similar to what Paul experienced, and they're getting saved. Don't ever discount the power of being the light, of letting His light shine through you. And as Gideon, before that light could shine, they had to break the clay pot. And the picture there is of our vessels of clay. The Bible actually calls us that. Vessels of clay. Earthen vessels. That's what this is, this body. And we have to get this out of the way figuratively, so that the light can shine through us. We have to die to self and live a selfless life so the light can shine through us. And that's our calling for all of us. The light is stronger than the darkness. You ever wonder why we have flashlights and not, like, there's no such thing as flash darkness, right? Because the darkness is not, because light is more powerful than darkness. You can pierce the night with light. You can't pierce the day with darkness. And we need to be that light. We should shine as believers. We should be stronger than the darkness because of who is in us. So my challenge to you today, in the midst of an incredibly dark world, be the light. Be the light. We oftentimes, courage again isn't fearlessness. You say, well, I'm afraid of the, okay, we all are. We're afraid of the darkness. We're afraid of what the darkness could bring. We're fear of what it could do to our families, to our friends, to our loved ones. We're afraid of the darkness. But courage isn't fearlessness. It's doing what you've got to do, what you know is right, even if you're afraid. God wants to light the darkness. He is with you in the darkness, and He is stronger than the darkness. So be the light. Share Him with others. Have courage. So moved by the story of Gideon. What a powerful story. It begins, we find him when he's hiding in a wine press threshing wheat. And he goes through this process of two chapters, and by the end of the eighth chapter, the darkness is vanquished. Because one man obeyed God. And I hope that for us as Christians, we will obey God.